The Shoreline Times and County Chronicle, Guilford, Connecticut, Thursday, February 15th, 1917, price 4 cents. What is this state doing for the war? Everybody willing that other fellow fight. An impetus has been given to farming and gardening, but just there knowledge of war ends. Lots of talk and flaring posters, but little else. By Norton. Hartford, May 31. It is a part of the writer's work to read each day a copy of each of the daily papers of the state, with two exceptions, and also, as they come along, all the semi-weeklies and about 90% of the weeklies, and yet, with all these advantages which a benign providence has thrown in his way, he is not certain just what Connecticut has done toward furthering the cause of the nation in this war in which, through no fault of its own, the country is now engaged. He can see what an impetus it has given to farming and gardening, can see what good work various country organizations have done along these lines, but just there knowledge ends. Because of the multiplicity of state and federal boards, official and unofficial organizations, such a din is being made that sound thinking is out of the question. Colored posters shriek at the citizens of the state, urging them to enlist in the Connecticut National Guard. Yet more persons are being discharged from that organization because they have one or more wives, or because their teeth are defective, than being mustered in. More posters urge the people to enlist in the regular Army or Navy, and yet next week comes a draft which, with no end of bookkeeping, is expected to select the quota for the state. Why volunteer if you must go in any event? And yet you, we, everybody is told that no man will be permitted to go if the government feels that he can be used to better advantage, planting corn or making munitions, no matter what his personal preferences may be. There is a Council of Defense, meeting at a great rate, and a half dozen other councils of other sorts, all statewise, doing things and telling the newspapers about it, and when nothing else is doing, someone is urging us to subscribe to the Liberty Loan at 3.5%. Washington is full of various commissions, but not one of them has the wisdom to say that a continued fire alarm is hardly necessary in view of the fact that all of us are aware of the conflagration, know just where it is, and realize that it is by no means under control. The folks who are ringing the bell should quit it and help with the house and ladders. Getting home to this state once more, we are urged to economize in the matter of food and are urged in another breath to spend all the money possible in order not to injure business. We are told that we should subscribe to the 3.5% loan as a matter of patriotism, and at the same time we are treated to the spectacle of a judge of the Superior Court resigning because the legislature declined to increase his salary, which is now only $7,500 a year, while some of the newspapers of the state curse the legislature for its parsimony instead of criticizing the judge for his attitude. Sacrifice, it appears, is not expected of the man who is getting a salary of $7,500, it being, and should be, expected of persons in a lower strata of society. So, too, an appropriation has been made for the expenses of the conscription of next week, yet we of this state, who are not judges of the higher courts, are urged to give our services as an act of patriotism. Are all the members of the various state commissions and all their various clerks giving their services as an act of patriotism, we ask to know? Looking at another phase of the situation, it is as perplexing as all the others, in that while the sentiment of the state is fully in accord with President Wilson's attitude that war could no longer be avoided, nobody, state-wise, seems especially anxious to fight. Out of an extensive acquaintance, the writer can count on the fingers of one hand all the persons not of German birth or parentage who are opposed to the war, and still have one or two disengaged fingers, yet most of these acquaintances can see no necessity for actual sacrifice on their part. It may be very well to get into the war, they seem to reason, but why not let the other nations do the fighting while we furnish the materials which they shall purchase here at prevailing rates? This, it must strike many people, is the most discouraging feature of the situation, that men of intelligence should be quite willing that France, Belgium, and England should suffer so long as we are not inconvenienced and can attend the movie shows as usual. In the West, where indifferences to the war was dominant up to 3 months ago, the response to the call for recruits has been far ahead of the record made here in New England, where men were once willing, if need be, to fight for an idea. One wonders what that fine old fighter, John Brown, would say to the attitude of his native state and the rest of New England. And yet, if a German raider should wreck New London or Newport, we may still believe that the men of the two states would awaken, would forget the cheap shows and the payroll and be willing to risk their lives as their ancestors did. But nobody knows aught except that we are involved in a war because we could no longer keep out of it and pretend to be either civilized or Christian, and that it will be expensive.